this podcast, if you're someone who chases losses, or if you're someone who doesn't manage your bankroll properly and stakes more than they should, and you're sitting there and you know that, then this is going to change life for you. If you take this advice, it will change your life for the better. I can guarantee that. Why can I guarantee that? Because that's what happened to me. Okay. Hello, I'm Martin from Betfair Trading Community. You may know me, you may not know me. I've done a lot of these podcasts now, I've done a lot of videos now. And I've talked a little bit in the past about my history of chasing losses and why it was the big thing holding me back. But I realized I haven't really done a podcast on specifically saying how to stop your losses. Now, I may have mentioned the things we're going to talk about today before, but I really wanted to kind of put it as the focus, yeah, is that the story I'm going to tell you today is not the story of me. The story I'm going to tell you today is the story of how you can stop chasing losses. As I always say on these podcasts, it's all about flipping it back around to you. It's all about working out how can I apply what I learn here to myself, to improve myself as a trader. One of the things that has always infuriated me about kind of Betfair Trading Services is that the focus very rarely was on the actual person who was placing the bets and the trades. The focus often would be on the people like me who were running the things, and I never felt that was right. And that's one of the reasons why I started getting involved with Betfair Trading Community when Ryan asked me to be a part of it. And that's one of the reasons I think why Betfair Trading Community has grown to the extent it has. And you know, I'm very grateful for everything that's happened in the past decade. But the reality is, if I hadn't got to grips with not chasing losses, if I had kept chasing losses, none of this would have happened. You know, I would never have been in the position, you know, I mean, what was it like 9 years ago now, to join Betfair Trading Community and actually help people become better traders. I would never have been in that position. Now, fortunately, it's been a decade plus since I chased losses, and it almost feels like some kind of Alcoholics Anonymous thing, you know, where if you're somebody who chases losses, you want to get to a situation where you start to think of, it's been 1 month since I chased a loss, or it's been 2 months, you know, you start adding up those days. Maybe you reward yourself, you know, think of the money you've saved if you stop chasing losses, and maybe, you know, maybe buy yourself a little treat as a reward every few months or every year or whatever, right? But the point is that it's possible, and I've seen it happen in myself, so I know it can happen with you. Now, will it happen with you? I can't guarantee that. Why? Because you do have to do it. You do have to stop chasing the losses. I can't physically come to where you are and look over your shoulder and go, hey, you don't want to place that bet, do you? That's double your last bet. Why have you doubled your stakes? Oh, well, I'm just chasing losses. I need to make my money back. It's not how you do it. And it doesn't work. So if it helps, just imagine a little Martin on your shoulder and I'm just sitting there. And when you're thinking about chasing the losses, you just look to your shoulder and I'm there just shaking my head, going, do you remember that scene from a bit of a diversion here from Jurassic Park when the guy, Dennis, sets up that computer to basically lock down everything at the park? And they try and kind of get back into it because it's been hacked, and he has that thing, goes, That's what I want you to think of when you're about to place your chasing bet. Because the reality is, that doesn't work, okay, first and foremost. Now, you might be sitting there going, Martin, I'm not overly sure what chasing losses is or what it means. Basically, chasing losses is when you have a loss at Betfair Trading. So let's say I'm betting the IPL today and the Sunrisers Hyderabad are playing Chennai Super Kings. So let's say I bet on Chennai Super Kings because I really like that team. I put £100 on them and they lose. And I'm like, oh, I'm gutted. I've lost that £100. And one of the things that goes through your head, and I think a lot of people who chase losses, this goes through their head when they make a loss, they go, I would have been better off just not betting today. I financially would have been better off just staying in bed. I could have stayed in bed all day and made more money than I have from trading, right? Now, that is a horrible thought to think of, because it's true, number one. But secondly, it lacks perspective in every single way, shape or form of life. You know, if we never try and do these things, long term we're never going to make money. And you can't judge your success by one bet. But so many people do this. Now, where does the chasing the losses come in? Well, it comes in like this. You're sitting there now with the mentality of, God, I'd be £100 better off if I just stayed in bed today. I better make that £100 back. What's on tonight? Oh, cool. It has a Premier League game on. You know, Manchester United playing, I don't know, Everton, right? And you go, okay, it's 0-0 at half time. Well, I know what I'll do. I need to make the 100 back. Second half goal is odds of 1.2. So if I bet £500, I can make my £100 back. Well, look at the situation you've got yourself in straight off the bat. You're now risking 500, having already risked 100, so potential day loss of 600, just to break even now. Because remember, you're only trying to win your 100 back in that stage. You're not even trying to make a profit on the day. So just to chase a £100 loss, you're willing to risk essentially a £600 loss instead and the extra £500. It doesn't work. It's a lovely thought that you could just do that and you go, that's cool. But what happens that time that there isn't a second half goal and suddenly you are 600 quid down? What happens? What happens is if you're chasing losses, you're probably going to try and chase again if you can afford it. So if you've got £2,500 in your Betfair account, you might now be putting the rest of that money on, you know, let's say it's got late in the evening because it's after the Premier League game and it was a night game. You might then be looking at the Colombian second division game and going, oh, I'd never normally bet on this, but I need to make the 600 quid back. If I put 1900 quid on, the odds are about 1.3 for a second half goal, I will make my 600 quid back. Happy days. Then you realise, actually, Colombian second division isn't great for goals. You do your balls on that bet, you lose that bet, and suddenly you've lost £2,500 in three bets when you started with a £100 stake. Even if you bet that £100 three times, the most you could have lost was £300. So you are now £2,200 down, £2,200 worse off than you would have been even if you bet all those three outcomes with your reasonable stake. Okay, now that might seem an extreme example. You go, well, come on, mind, how many people listening on £100 stakes who are being sensible? Okay, not many, because most of you will be learning, you'll be trying to improve as traders, and you'll be at an earlier level. But even from a £10 stake, use that exact same strategy, you would lose £250. Well, what happens when you lose that 250? And you go, actually, I could maybe do one more chase. Let's put a grand on something at 1.25 and try and make my money back. Because invariably what happens is that when people chase, they try and put their money on short odds things to happen. And if you're chasing losses, like the £100, and you're back in short odds, your stake needs to be much higher to make that money back. And inevitably it fails. And it's a terrible, terrible strategy, and it doesn't work. Here's why. Let's say it wins. Let's say you do that £500 bet and you win your £100 back. And you break even for the day and you're relaxing. You're hyperventilating through the game because you really couldn't afford to lose that 600 quid. But now you feel good because you've got the break even point. Your brain is now telling you, wow, that is a good thing. You've got good feelings. Now you feel lucky, you feel fortunate, you're breathing a sigh of relief, but your brain is also thinking, getting the endorphins and going, hang on, that felt good. Punch in the air. This is what it's all about, right? Gambling. No, that's not what it's all about. In fact, that's the opposite of what we're about, gambling. We don't want to gamble. We want to be backing things based on the fact that they're part of our strategy, using sensible stakes, investing our money wisely. I always think of that scene in Only Fools and Horses when I say that, when Doughboy gives Granddad some money, doesn't he, to do something, I think to buy something for the business or whatever, and Granddad goes, don't worry, Del, I'll invest it wisely, and then he gets out his paper and circles a horse that's in the next race coming up. But that's my point about gambling, right? We don't want to be betting on things we don't really know or understand, and we don't want to be using stakes we shouldn't be. Okay? And it's a brutal reality, but when it wins for you and you do make your money back, it's actually bad for you because it gives your brain the impression this is the right thing to do. Well, I'll just do it next time. I got away with it. I'll do it next time. I'll do it the time after that. And it will catch you out. Eventually it will catch you. You might get away with it a few times. You might chase your losses successfully, but eventually it will catch you out. And that's a fact. And also, what do you really gain? See, this is the biggest problem that I don't think I've talked a lot about this with chasing losses, but what do you really gain? And I think that's what kind of stuck with me the last time I was tempted to chase losses, was when I had a bad day and I was like, I want to chase the loss. And then I actually thought, because luckily I'm in a position now where I can stop and think first, rather than just doing the thing that I know is stupid. And I can look at it and go, but what do I really gain? You know, in that scenario of the £100, okay, you can risk the 600, but even if you get that 100 quid back, it's not that amazing. Ultimately, you've just broken even for the day. You're going to be out, you're not going to be out in the town celebrating, oh, hey, I made £0 today. Woo, let's go spend some money. So in theory, you're chasing losses to achieve virtually nothing. And with the massive drawback that if it doesn't work, you could bust your bank or you could bust yourself. And that is what I used to do. Let's get into that. Look, I talk a lot about myself. I talk a lot. I'm very open. I'm very honest. I'm very authentic about who I am. You know, if you've been listening to this podcast, if you watch my videos, you know that stuff. You know virtually everything about me, okay? Some people have used that as a stick to try and beat me with, which always makes me laugh because, you know, rival companies think that that's a negative, that I'm actually open and honest about who I am. I share my name. I've shared lots of personal details. The reality is that I feel in this industry where there's so many skeptics, there's a lot of cynics, there's actually quite a lot of nasty people as well, is that Betfair trading community has been a breath of fresh air. Me, Ryan and Adam, you know, we've lived our lives like open books, and we've lived our lives through Betfair trading community, you know, Ryan for the past decade, me and Adam for slightly less time than that. And I love that my authenticity comes through. I love the fact that I can share my stories and my truths and things with you guys and that you guys respond. And why I'm saying this is because I really want you guys to feel my thanks, because I'm so grateful for all the messages I get. And I do try to reply to all of them. The people that I've helped in their lives, helped become better traders, helped stop chasing losses, save them lots of money or help make them lots of money. That's what it's all about for me. And I really do appreciate that people do take their time to message me, to say thank you, because it's easy not to, right? It's easy not to. It's easy to be that keyboard warrior who just wants to try and take people down. But I think it's more difficult to be that one who's actually thankful for the things they get in life. So I'm really thankful that I get to do what I do and be a part of Betfair Trading Community. And I'm really thankful that you guys message me and tell me how much this makes a difference to you, because ultimately that's what has kept me going. You know, even through tough times, even when I've had people try to troll me or bring me down or whatever, ultimately it's you guys who are listening to this right now that have helped pull me through. So I thank you for that. I really do. You guys are special to me, and hopefully I can keep helping you improve as Betfair traders. And the reason I'm kind of prefacing this story of that is that I don't really like to talk about this that much, right? But I feel like it's almost my duty to kind of be this open book with you guys. I feel like we have that kind of relationship. And especially if you're a long time listener, you know, and a lot of you guys are my friends. You know, I've met a lot of you for coffees and things. I know a lot of you personally. And so I really appreciate that. And the story I'm about to tell you is not a fun one for me. So I started trading about the age of 16, because back then you could, right? Debit cards, no one checked. There was no KYC checks back in the early 2000s, right? No one cared. You just got on, and if you had a card, well, you could put money into an account. I was on bookmaker's account, so I was on Betfair, no problem. Where the problem came was that I was 16. Ultimately, that's where the problem came from, because I didn't understand how to trade properly. I didn't understand bankroll management. I didn't understand money management. And when I made a loss and I had a bad week, I felt like, oh my God, I need to recover that instantly. Because, you know, I hadn't had any money at that time. I think I had a part-time job. I had a part-time job at Comet, which doesn't even exist anymore. I got some money from, I think it was ESA money I got every week. I got some of that. And that would all go into my Betfair account. And I'd do well. Most weeks I would do well. And I'd make a good amount of money. And I'd take it out. Happy days. But the weeks I lost were the problem. Because even though they were actually, you know, I was actually quite good. And I was betting on tennis matches and I was doing well. But even though that was happening, I still had problems. I couldn't handle a losing week, and I feel like there'll be a lot of people that have that struggle. And what I did was I chased losses. You know, whatever was in my bank, I put on the next bet, and it wouldn't have been much money, probably normally 100 quid, something like that, maybe a bit more than that. And that's what I bet on. And I would lose that, chasing losses. One of the things I used to really get tied up in, which is just so bad, was, you know, I might back a tennis player at really short odds to chase a loss, to say at 1.2. I'd go and log in on my lunch break at school and then see that, oh God, that player's actually losing and the other player's 1.1. Oh, I better put all my money on the other player at 1.1 and then I've just got a really terrible position where if that player doesn't win, it's a nightmare. And then the original player I back wins. That happened quite a few times, you know. Tying yourself up in knots because you're doing something stupid and therefore all logic just goes out of the window. And that happened for a few years. I think I remember at uni one term just getting a student loan, which was probably about $3,000, and just blowing it chasing losses. And suddenly I had like 3 months till my next payment and I had no money. And I luckily I had an overdraft because I literally don't know what I would have done. Like, you know, my parents didn't have money. I didn't have any outlets for money. And so it was rough. It was rough. And the catalyst for change, really, for me, was a big event. It was when I first got married. Then I managed to get a loan through some hard... It was hard work to get a loan because, you know, just married, just bought my first house, etc., etc. And I blew that. Chasing losses. And that, you know, telling my new wife, who'd basically, you know, given up her life to be married to me, you know, given up her some of her singleness and freedom, and basically not having to be married to someone who's idiot enough to lose thousands of pounds. That was brutal. I'm not proud of that, but to this day, it's still something that thinking about it upsets me. You know, there's a few things in my life where I have that situation where I've done something that upsets me to look back on it, and luckily there's not too many of those, but that's definitely one of them. And the point is that I was very fortunate that she was very understanding and very forgiving. And she didn't make a fuss about it. She didn't make me feel bad about it. And in a way, that made me feel worse. Because as relieved as I was that, you know, she wasn't going to just file for divorce, the reality was that this is the nicest person I've ever met to have that reaction. Because I know I wouldn't. I wouldn't have that reaction the other way around had it been her. I would have gone skits. So to do something like that to someone who's such a nice person as well makes it even worse. Why do I tell you this? Because I've told this story a few times. I don't want you guys to fall for that trap. I don't want you guys to go down that road. I don't want you guys to have some huge I'm not even going to try and say the word, but a huge chaotic event, let's go for you to actually engage and make a change in your life. Because ultimately, You don't need to. I have spelled out for you why chasing losses doesn't work and how to change it is to accept that truth. If you accept that truth into your life right now and you say, yes, Martin, I accept that. I accept that chasing losses will not benefit me in the long term. It's not possible. Chasing losses is akin to going into a casino and just betting on the roulette wheel and trying to make money. The reality is, in the long term, the house will always win. If you do it long enough and you have, you know, you're betting with stakes where you can survive, you will lose. Eventually, you will lose. You, no matter how lucky you are, the tides will turn, the percentages will even out, and you will lose your money. It will happen. You know, I mean, if you did match betting, you would have probably been a lot on casinos and you'd have seen. You know, if you're betting on red and black, how often does red and black get 10, 11 times in a row when you're doing those offers? I saw it loads of times myself. The reality is, imagine chasing your losses on that and having 11 losses in a row where you're doubling your stakes. You'd lose a fortune. And how deep does your bank have to be that you can survive that? That's the reality. It only takes one occurrence of bad luck, right, for you to wipe your bankroll when you chase losses. And that's the problem. You can lose a trade, then you chase your losses, you lose the second one, and then you go for another one at short odds and that loses. And you go, well, it's unlikely that, you know, two bets at short odds are going to lose. Yeah, it's unlikely, but it happens, and it happens quite regularly. And you will lose your bankroll if that's the way you do it. So how do you stop? I think realizing that it doesn't work is a big thing. Because if you can get it into your head that as tempted as I am to go and chase this loss, it's not going to help me, that will help you make a change. Okay, so that's the first thing. Get your head around the fact that it does not work. And in no circumstances does it work in the long term. So even if you get lucky once or twice, it doesn't help you in the long term. You will lose your money. The second point, and this is quite a straightforward one, is simply this. You have to engage that change. No one's going to do it for you. No one's going to bet for you. No one's going to come and tap you on the shoulder every time you're tempted to make a stupid bet. If you're anything like me, you're probably not even going to tell anyone that you're doing it at the time. Your close friends, your family, you probably keep it from them, right? You're not going to tell your wife that you just put a grand on something because you lost 100 quid. I know that. I know that feeling. I think one of the big mistakes people can make is not involving their partners and their loved ones more in what they do, because it actually holds you accountable. The moment I told Roz about that, I was then accountable for my future actions, because I knew that she knew. And so if I did it again and she knew that I was doing it and that I knew she didn't obviously like it, I mean, who would? Then she would have every reason to leave me. You know, and ultimately, this is what this stuff comes down to, because when you hear these horror stories about gamblers losing everything, it's not because they followed good practices. It's not because they were clever with their staking. It's not even necessarily because they were bad gamblers in the fact that they picked a lot of losers. It was probably the fact that they chased their losses. And they upped their stakes and upped their stakes until they lost everything. And that's the danger. But you can turn it around. I've turned it, and I've seen people on the Betfair Trading Community Forum turn it around. So it's not just me. I look at the countless case studies of members over the past decade who I've seen transform their trading lives. And so I know it works. And I know it can be done. Will it be done? This is the third point. Will it be done? How much do you want it? How much do you want to stop chasing losses? How much do you really want to get good at Betfair trading? Because there's only one way to do it, and that way is not to chase losses. The moment you think that chasing losses is the answer to anything, it's the moment you've lost. So you have to understand. Now, it's easy to sit there and understand that this isn't the right thing to do and still do it. And this is kind of point four. When your brain is telling you that what you're doing is stupid, your brain's right. Your brain's right. Because I tell you what, when I'm just backing sensible stakes on strategies that I've tried and tested to the nth degree, my brain doesn't tell me I'm being stupid investing that money. It goes, yeah, this is a solid investment. It might not win, it might lose, but it's a good investment. When I'm chasing a loss and I'm looking at staring at a Colombian second division match and I've just put the rest of my bankroll on a second half goal, my brain is not telling me I'm doing the right thing. My brain is going, you're an idiot. What are you doing? This is ridiculous. So I think we've all got that inner dialogue in our heads that tells us it would be stupid to do that. And this is how you overcome it. I've given you four good points of how you can overcome chasing losses. What it ultimately comes down to, I think, is your beliefs. If you believe it's wrong, and you're willing to enact that belief and follow that belief, you can change your trading life. But the question is, will you? Are you willing? And will you do it? They're the questions you need to ask yourselves. Because if the answer is no, then, and you want to keep chasing losses, there's nothing I can do for you. But if the answer is yes, I actually want to change, I want to enact this change, there's a lot I can do for you. Now, if you're still struggling after this and you still can't do it, get in touch with me. Email me, info@betfairtradingcommunity.com. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from. I'm not going to not talk to you. Like I say, I endeavour to reply to all the messages I get. Now, sometimes things can get lost in emails and stuff, and sometimes emails don't come through. If you're a member, the most guaranteed way is to just message me on the forum, because that will always come through, that message, guaranteed. We don't have to rely on a third-party email provider to get these things right. I can help you if you let me. But you have to let me. And you have to let people help you. And you have to be willing to be helped. Because if you're not, there's not a lot we can do. But if you are, you can change your trading life. And I've seen it so many times. And that's why I do this. People ask me all the time, why do you still do this? Because of people like that. When I see that change, it goes, this is worth it. When I see it change someone's life, it goes, this is worth it. Because the reality is that this is absolutely worth it. If you're good at trading, if you feel like you've got any talent, if you feel like you can create strategies that work, this is a great investment long term for you if you're in that situation, if you use sensible stakes. Now, you might say, you might be a new listener and go, where can I find out about staking? Just Google bankroll and bet staking. And I think it comes up number one, Betfair Trading Community. And if you put Betfair Trading in the search as well, it'll definitely come up. Read it. I wrote that for you. I wrote that. And I've actually got a method on there where you virtually cannot go bust. So, you know, if you really want to really be as careful as you can with your stakes, that's one way to do it. Thanks all for listening, guys. I know this has been, you know, nearly half an hour session, but sometimes we need them, right? Sometimes we need them. And I want you guys to stop chasing losses, because it just doesn't work. You know, and if you had something, you know, let's say you had a car and you knew that the car just isn't going to start, are you going to sit there in a drive for the next 3 or 4 years trying to turn it on? Or are you just going to sell it to We Buy Any Car for a few hundred quid and buy something new? I think I know the answer. So do the same with your trading. All right, guys, hope you have a great week. And I hope you don't chase any losses.